And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on the day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who heard them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city.
Some of you are aware of the particular ministry that I am leading in the UK called MMI or Mordecai Ministries International. And among the five operational components of it, one of them is called Operation Philip. And that is based on this passage from the Bible that we just read. And that will further elaborate why we call it Operation Philip. Second, from the very start, I want to mention that my intention will be to help you understand at least two things as a result of our teaching today. First one is that you might have wondered that why God allows persecution, why he allows Christians to be persecuted and then scattered. Why does he do that? And then what is the end result? What happens as a result whenever God allows that to happen? What is the consequences of that for both the believers as well as the non-believers? These are two points that I'm hoping that I will be able to help understand. In order to understand this and put this into context, I would like you to take you back to Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 28. And when we look at verse number 18 and 19, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" Now, Jesus, as our commander-in-chief, as our leader, as our savior, has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations and be his witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and ends of the world. Now, what those disciples should have done, they should have done exactly that. But we can give them a little bit of a benefit of doubt, because in the very first chapter of the book of Acts, we find that they are told, do not go yet, until you get the power from on high, until you get the Holy Spirit. But chapter number 2, we find that the Holy Spirit does come and dwell amongst them and dwells upon them. And they are able to then speak in tongues, they are able to heal people, miracles happen. What should happen now? Commandment of Jesus is very clear. Go and make disciples of all nations and be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and end of the world. Holy Spirit has come. Acts chapter 2. But then we read chapter number 3 and see whether have they gone somewhere. And we find they are not gone anywhere. They're still there in Jerusalem. So we try to find maybe in chapter number 4 they have gone somewhere. And we find no, they are still in Jerusalem. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and they're still in Jerusalem. Chapter 7, towards the end, we find the persecution breaks out. And Stephen has been martyred. And then chapter number 8 starts with that the persecution increases. Because put yourself in God's shoes. He must be getting impatient. I want them to be my witnesses all over the world and make disciples of all nations. And all they are doing is just sitting here in Jerusalem, gathering maybe once a week and worshiping me and then having a nice cup of coffee and going home. why they are not doing what they're supposed to do. And then it's written that the persecution breaks out and they are scattered. God scatters his people just like a farmer scatters the seed. So wherever it will fall, then it will grow and bring much fruit. That's what he wants us to do. And they are throughout they're scattered all regions throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now the lesson for us is that when the persecution comes, people need to sometime relocate, people do need to move. Even when Jesus, we find that his parents found out that they were in a life-threatening situation, God himself encouraged them to go to Egypt. We know that Paul, when he was going to get killed, there was a woman who lowered him down in a basket and so he could live and tell the story another day. And God could have used somebody else, but imagine if Paul had got martyred in that city and had not been rescued in this way. Most of the New Testament, God would have used somebody else to bring that to us, I believe. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house to house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Now those who got scattered to Samaria, to Judea, to other places, that's exactly now they're doing what God intended them to do in the first place. So now we know why God allows persecution, so his people can be scattered. And then he wants them and expects them to do the very work that he intends them to do, the very purpose of the church being in this part of the world. And many, I can see, if I'm not wrong, I can see many Iranian, for example, due to persecution have been scattered to an extent that God, in Turkey, for example, many Iranians who were not believers came there and accepted Christ. Many who were believers and also joined them. And the result is now that there are more Iranian Christians in Turkey than the Turkish Christians themselves. We know there are at least seven the churches, they were all in Turkey. And then pretty much it all got wiped out. And then we were praying, the Lord, we want to see a small congregation in every city and town in that country where once the Christian faith was spread. And God answered that prayer in a very interesting way. When these Iranian brothers and sisters go to Turkey, just like any country, just like in the UK, that when the migrants come, asylum seekers come, the government does not want them all to be congregated in London. So they send them to other cities. So the Turkish government did the same. They send them to various small cities and towns. And wherever they went, they formed their small fellowships. So God did answer our prayers. And there is a small fellowship of believers now worshiping Jesus in every town and city in Turkey. But a lot of these congregations are not of Turkish believers, but of Iranian believers in Turkey. And God scattering people, fulfilling his purpose to preach the gospel. And the crowds with him, and then Philip went down to a city of Samaria and proclaimed them the Christ. One of the reasons we call this part of the ministry, where we relocate people in life-threatening situations, we call it Operation Philip, because we want them to, we acknowledge that not everybody is going to become like a Philip and preach the gospel, but that's our intention. And even if 20% of them end up doing what we are intending them to do, we believe that we have achieved our purpose. And he proclaimed them the Christ, and the crowd, verse number 6 says, and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip, which means people are paying attention to the gospel message. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, and then we see the miracles are happening, the unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So people are, healing is taking place. So there was a much joy in that city. And that's God's intention. When God is bringing asylum seekers, Christians who are scattered, persecuted Christians coming to the United Kingdom, what's God's perspective? We should develop that and see them with God's eyes. Why God brought them here? For the same purpose, because he wants to see joy in the cities wherever they go. If they're Christian, persecuted Christians are coming to Sheffield, that means he wants to see joy in Sheffield. Our God wants to see joy in Birmingham. He wants to see joy in Leeds, in London, in Belfast, in Glasgow, and all the cities wherever he's taking them. Obviously, due to the very sensitive nature of the work that I do, I can't name names. I can't, in some cases, share places. But I will be giving you some idea about some of the people that we managed to move. How they were like Philip, and how they were bringing joy to the places wherever they went. I'm going to tell you the story of Ruth, obviously not her real name, born to a Muslim family in Pakistan, comes to know the Lord, family tries to hunt her down, she's running, and eventually finds a Christian husband. God blesses her with two sons. And then as a medical nurse, she moves to the Arabian Gulf region, finds a job in a local hospital, and eventually family finds out. And now the threat is they're saying that we are going to slaughter both of your sons in front of you unless you convert back to Islam, and as well as your husband and children. I tried to relocate them. Visas are not always easy. So the desperation went to that level where one day she said to me, Asif, it seems like that God does not want to glorify himself some other way, but not by relocating us. But I cannot bear the thought of my both children violently dying in front of me. So as a nurse, I'm going to buy some cyanide, some poison, and I'm going to give to both my sons. So it will be easier comparatively for me to see them die at least peacefully. And when they are dead, me and my husband will drink the poison as well. Imagine her state of mind she's in. What mother would want to do that happily? Imagine my state of mind, feeling responsible that I wanted to do something for her and I'm not able to. I almost felt like banging my head against the wall or something. And I cried out. I said, Lord, I am helpless. I don't have any authority to open any doors, but you do. And God answered my prayer, and I'm very pleased that it's more than 3 years now. We managed to move her. I can't mention the country, but I can mention the continent. We moved her to South America. And in South America, in this particular country where she is, she joined the local church. And the very first day she ended up in that church, the pastor told her that the four women from that church went on a mission trip to Jordan. And when they went, after a few weeks, they have come back, they are singing all praises to Jordan, and that how much these people are a community, they look out for each other, respect for the older, and how they discipline their children, how delicious their cuisines are, how beautiful their dances are, and their songs are, and how nice the call of prayer feels in the morning. In a nutshell, basically saying that what we felt that what they have is more attractive than what we have, and we are thinking of converting to Islam. When this sister Ruth, heard this, she said, can I have a cup of coffee with these four women? Pastor said, I'm very happy to arrange that. So that's what he did. So in that 45 minute of coffee time with those four ladies, she explained that how she was born and raised in Pakistan to a Muslim family, and how she practiced Islam to the hilt all her life, and what are her categorical reasons for leaving Islam, and what are her categorical reasons why she loves Jesus so much. After listening to her testimony, these four women said to the pastor, we are blown away. We had no idea how precious it is that we have in Jesus Christ. And we are not going to convert to Islam and going to continue to follow and serve Jesus to the rest of our lives. Brothers and sisters, isn't Sister Ruth another Philip? Now, a super sensitive case. Well, I can mention the country. A young lady in her 20s, about 27 years of age, born and raised in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, to a very influential, very wealthy family, business family, comes to know the Lord, a medical doctor. And when the family is trying to hunt her down, I am approached, Asif, do something about it. I praise God that it took me about 8 or 9 months. We were able to hide, and after 9 months, I managed to, by the grace of God, move her to a place of safety, which obviously I cannot mention where. But when she got there, she said something interesting to me. She said, "Brother Asif, ever since I accepted Jesus Christ and the message of salvation in my life, I felt like that I will die if I don't share it with anyone. I was almost at the point of exploding. And I'm very pleased that my life is saved and I am in a place now, a safe place as compared to where I was. But that's not the biggest joy in my life. The biggest joy was the moment I arrived in this country, a Western country, and I went out on the street with the local church to proclaim Jesus and openly say that how precious he is to me and why I love him so much and why everybody should follow him. The day I did that and I was able to vent that, what was almost boiling in my heart, that's what brought me greater joy. And now sharing her testimony daringly in that place and leading other people from her background into God's kingdom. Another Philip, brothers and sisters, for you. And there are currently, just to encourage you, there are about 12 families at the moment that are in various stages of being relocated, are in a very precarious situation that we are helping. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you as my family, as my church family, for standing with me, because without your prayers and without your support and without your financial support, I could not do any of this effectively. But you are already helping me more and more ways than I previously knew, and you would be very chuffed to hear what I'm going to share with you. I have managed to move a few families to Eastern Europe, various places, especially to Hungary. And there was a family in a very serious persecution situation, in a life-threatening situation, and I managed to move them to Hungary, to Budapest, about a year ago. And they joined the local church, and they told the church that we are learning Hungarian, but we also would like to learn English, because everybody we meet from overseas speaks English, and it's good for us. And they said, "Don't you worry. We have a young man from the country of English, an Englishman from England, who will be happy to teach you English language." And then they were taking lessons, and they were very happy. And I said, "Can I speak with that? He comes from my country, so I would like to speak with him." So they put me on a video call, and I said, where in England you are from?" He said, "Sheffield." "Really? Sheffield? Where in Sheffield?" He said, "Oh, I think you probably will know my mom and dad. They go to Christchurch Central." "Is really?" And he said, but he then stopped and he said, "By the way, what's your name?" And I said, "My name is Asif Mal." He said, "I know you. You are friends with my mom and dad." I said, "Who are your mom and dad?" And he said, "Chris and Fiona Bronson." Great. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Chris and Fiona and all of you, for releasing Sam to be a blessing to my ministry. Not my ministry, as you know, I get rebuked by the Lord by saying it, my ministry, but the Lord's ministry that I'm serving, that he's helping us without even knowing that he's helping the ministry of persecuted Christians and supporting them. And so God works in mysterious ways, and he is able to bless people in ways that we were not imagining. Because I remember Sam when he was very young. I remember him, you know, playing video games at the age of 12 and all that. And suddenly now he's saying, "I'm married and I'm based in Budapest and I am helping these persecuted Christians by helping them learn English." And so that was an amazing story, and I wanted to make sure that I share that with you. And so brothers and sisters, the purpose of God bringing these people to these places, these persecuted Christians, is that they are able to bring joy to those places wherever they go. Imagine that lady in South America, when those four women came and told the pastor that we had no idea how precious it is what we have in Jesus, and we are going to not convert to Islam and continue to follow Jesus, there was a great joy in that church as a result. There was a great joy in that Christian community there. There is a great joy by this young lady from Saudi Arabia who is in this country where we moved her to. And when she goes out and openly shares her testimony and leads people into God's kingdom, by listening to that, there is a great joy in that church, in that community, in that city as a result. We want to see more of this joy. And we want to see more of these people having the opportunity, just like Paul had an opportunity not to get killed. And I feel myself sometimes my role in Operation Philip is like, I'm like that woman with the basket on the wall, lowering down one person at a time, one family at a time, helping them flee that extreme persecution and those life-threatening situations. And by the grace of God, I believe that we will be able to continue to do this more often with more people. And for that, I will obviously continue to need your support and your prayers to enabling me to do this. In the end, again, every time I come, I have very fond memories of this city. And I'm also very pleased when I left this city to go join full-time ministry in Birmingham. My leader that I served with for a number of years in Birmingham, Des Harper, praise God that he is here, and it was such a privilege to see him, and I look forward to actually fellowshipping with him a little bit more after the service. But I would like to thank all of you, and especially to Pastor Tim, for this opportunity to invite me back and share a little bit from the Word of God, and also to update you what God is doing through you and through me to help those who are suffering for his name's sake, bringing comfort and joy in their lives and the lives of those where we are bringing them. Thank you very much, and God bless you.